Just as everybody expected, the Hawks come away with a victory over Purdue. Charlie Jones gets his, but we get them. 5-4. Three games winnable left on the schedule. Indy still in play. The Hawks O-line and offense starting to gel a little bit more. We got something going. The ball is rolling here. Let's go, Hawk fans. Come on now. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 366 of the Brady Ross Just Shit All Over Chris Hassel podcast. Right before this episode aired in our Discord, right before we sat down to record this episode, somebody in our Discord sent a screenshot of Brady Ross being the king, per usual, and letting Chris Hassel know exactly what he thinks about him, which was pretty awesome. So that's how I want to open this podcast. Just giving a shout out to Brady Ross. You're the king. Love you, pal. Kluver.
It was on the agenda. I didn't know that it was going to open as the
dude. It just happened. It's on my brain.
Yeah. Pretty great reply by old Buford there, huh? I like Buford, by the way. Drake called him Buford Ross.
I like calling him Buford Ross every once in a while.
In a DHT, and I think it fits him. You know, he's Dolphin training. He's over there with the undefeated.
The voice of the Wildcats.
Yeah, he's
and they're undefeated.
Yeah, they're going to the dome.
Shout out to the undefeated voice of the Wildcats, because this is his first year. He's never lost.
Is that what they are? The Humboldt Wildcats?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. They should have been something cooler. The Humboldt.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was the Wildcats, though.
Let's check in on that. It's not like there's a ton to talk about tonight. Anyway, I mean, like everybody thought, Iowa did beat. They are the Humboldt Wildcats.
Did you catch the end of that Bucks game?
No, I did not. I saw that they won. I didn't watch it, though.
It was
wild ending. Wild ending.
Now, did you see the end of the LSU-Bama game?
I caught it on
Twitter.
Only
in highlights because I was watching the World Series.
Wow. You were watching the World Series over Alabama-LSU.
I've
literally never heard you talk about baseball ever before in my life.
It's only playoff sports, man. I'm not nearly bought in to any sport in particular as much as I am bought into playoff sports.
I'd agree with that.
It's the atmosphere. And I'm not a hockey fan either, but when playoff hockey is on, I'm tuned in and I'm going to find my favorite team that I'm going to try and ride with that one team through the playoffs, because it is so much fun to be a playoff sports fan. And that's just what I am. I'm a playoff sports fan above any particular sports fan.
You know what you are.
I'm an anomaly. I'm an enigma.
No. It makes you a bandwagon sports fan. You're bandwagon.
Sure, I guess. I'm an athlete. I don't have to be. Dude, I'm training to be a mixed martial artist, man. I want to fight people in a cage. I'm not a normal person. I don't watch sports for that much. The only sport I watch is NFL football. UFC.
That doesn't disvalidate what I just said. Doesn't make
I'm a bandwagon sports fan.
He was trying, right. Kevin. He was trying to.
Yeah, and I'm trying to say that I'm not a normal sports fan. Yes, I'll agree with you that I'm a bandwagon sports fan because I'm not a real sports fan.
You know what this means is now 2 out of 3 of us have said we're not really sports guys.
You know, I think the content on this show, particularly over the last year or so, has really shown that to the fans.
I mean,
and we're just continuing to make more money.
Hey, and we're just getting fucking started, aren't we? Are you eating the crispiest pizza? Is that what that is?
Oh, that's very toast, bitch.
That's jelly toast. You're eating jelly toast at 5:30 on a
and thick cut bacon, boy.
Oh my God.
Drake is a crispy cooked guy. Interesting.
Well, I'm more of a floppy.
It's so thick that it also bends.
Yeah. I like that. I'd eat that right there.
Oh, well, thick cut is the only bacon that you can get.
It's the only cut.
You can miss me with that thin shit.
Kevin with another one-liner. Miss me with the thin shit. Welcome in to the podcast, by the way. This is how we do things. If you've never been around here, if you are, tuning in at 366 for your first episode, then interesting, but welcome.
And let me tell you something. The Ferences are still the goats.
And God, we got there's a lot of directions to take this. Okay, let's bring it back.
The boys are picking up some momentum that I didn't know that they were going to be able to pick up.
Did you not know that though?
No, I didn't believe. I truly didn't. Watching the first 7 weeks sporadically watching the first 7 weeks, I truly did not believe that there was any momentum to be had.
So going back to the tweet from Chad Lysico that Chris Hassel quote tweeted that Brady Ross responded to, the original quote from Spencer Petras, no offense to anybody in here, you guys had us dead 2 weeks ago, as did the whole outside world, it felt like.
Yes, 100%. I had them silently dead. I just was like minding my own business, just chalking it up.
Yeah, you not being on the main show was Drake Kulik has the Iowa Hawkeyes dead.
100%.
In the grave, Undertaker, but they're not coming back. They're not rising up out of the coffin. Hey, and that's 100%. The luxury of the outside, boys, is we can have them fucking dead. And we can talk about it, and there's no consequence. It's fun. Oh, hey, it's fun as the media to say, boy, these boys suck. No consequence. We turn off the microphone.
Put the film on. Tape don't lie. Them boys sucked for a lot of weeks.
Now, that's true. That's true. A lot of the stuff that they were putting on the tape didn't look so good. Looked like they were dead. Or they were playing like they were trying to die. Legit. But second half of this quote says, that's not what football is. It's a week-to-week game. You keep working, and if you do things right, work hard, good results happen. And the one thing you do know, Drake.
I don't disagree with that statement at all.
The one thing you do know is that inside that building, they surely weren't working half-ass.
No.
They're doing their best.
Though the offensive line looked like they were skipping practice.
So,
and they were also skipping some of the meetings.
But now
they're blocking folks.
Now there's a little
bit of pressure.
And I think there's a little context to things here. I think you got to take everything into account. We've talked about it. I've mentioned it several times in the last couple weeks. And I think people are starting to come around to the idea that, wow, maybe this was more of a factor than we thought. The defenses we've played to this point are arguably stout. If you're going to look at Illinois, Michigan, Ohio State, even Rutgers rushing defense specifically, South Dakota State, who, by the way, Northern Iowa damn near took down yesterday. But they are still undefeated and number one in the FCS and have a top five defense in that league.
Iowa State's got a solid defense.
Iowa State, I forgot to say Iowa State. They've got the best defense in the Big 12 statistically. We were up against some it wasn't the row of teams we would have liked to see for a line that was young and could have used a little bit more easing in to this season. I am jealous as fuck, by the way, as you crunch that toast. But hey, now Northwestern, not as good. Purdue, we talked about it on the show last week. Another defense that has been spotty at best. Iowa offense starting to take advantage. And how about the boy number two? Huh? How about this guy, Caleb Johnson? Huh? Tell you what, man, that guy can run the football. Huh?
Dolph wasn't lying, man. The kid can play ball, and he's by far and away our most effective back.
Oh, he's the number one by far. I think there was a question earlier in the season. Is it going to be LaShawn? Is it going to be Caleb? Is Gavin going to be the guy? He was still in the mix, and I think the other two have struggled with some injuries. Caleb Johnson, boys, workhorse. runs hard. Arguably,
he's got good feet.
Good feet. Guy sprouted for 75 yesterday. He looked dead to rights about half a second after the handoff. I mean, I'm not going to say that Purdue's good at tackling because they ain't. Holy shit, I bet Kevin's got some thoughts on that. I mean, they don't do tackle circuit at Purdue. They don't know what it is in West Lafayette. But nonetheless, those are the 11 guys that they
scrap that period and they just do an extra period of 7-on-7 and pattern match.
Correct. Which didn't seem to be working for him yesterday either.
And their game plan is
throw the
ball at Charlie Jones 30 times.
And
it's
insane
how many targets that he gets.
I think
he's a good receiver.
Good.
But I'm sorry, a 5'10 white dude should not be getting the ball thrown at him that often.
Hey, tell Cooper Kupp that.
I think Cooper's like, what, at least 6'1"?
Yeah, he's taller.
Tell you what, if I'm a Purdue fan, I'm a little bit worried because I think Iowa yesterday just exposed that their game plan offensively is kind of trash. And they've gotten away with it a little bit. I mean, they're 5-4 now as well. It's not like they're murdering people out here. So I wouldn't say it's working the best.
Well, I mean, their offense has been effective, barring, they had a, honestly, they've put up almost 30 points every game.
I know. Yeah, and I just,
they beat Minnesota 20-10, and that was their lowest scoring outing. Every other game, you know, Wisconsin, they put up 24 against another good defense, but you know, their offense has been able to put up points and maintain drives against some good defenses out there. I think we just got to give credit to this Iowa back seven. Did a great job matching routes all day. And I think the key thing, besides the absence of David Bell, was
which might be a huge
unlike threat. In years past, we were able to get pressure on Aiden O'Connell this year.
Yes, we were. you're right, Kev. We're not just talking about the back seven here. I mean, let's just call it the back 11. It's the back 11.
The back 11, the front 11.
Make it the T-shirt. The 11 guys that we're sending out there.
Yeesh.
You know?
Yeesh.
Dogs. If we ever could...
Lucas Van Ness,
Hercules, is
a freakazoid.
And he can
run. Who in the fuck is this guy? And where did we find him? And where can we find more? Because he is a monster.
And you see him run when he turns.
What?
Like Broski's running down QBs.
And he's massive.
He's built. Where do they have all those statues of the naked dudes with their little dicks out? Is that Greece? Is that Rome?
Rome.
Either or. Pick your poison.
He's carved like one of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm guessing
it feels like getting hit by a brick of stone.
He was ranked last week as the 25th best college football player in America.
Yeah. Checks out. For real, it checks out. Yep.
He can't leave this year because he's not a junior yet. So,
but he's going to be a first-team All-American is what it sounds like.
He's getting his. I mean, he's getting his.
So I guess I didn't realize he was getting that much recognition.
Well, and he hasn't really until last week. Some guy came out with his top 50 college football prospects, and Van Ness just happens to be number 25, and I thought – well, God, I thought the same thing as you. I thought, well, shit. I mean, I know he's doing good. He's playing well for the Hawks, but is he that good?
Dude, he's good.
He's that good, man. Let's just put it this way. He stays on the same projection as he is right now.
Trajectory.
We're not going to see his senior year.
No.
I want to show you what...
Him and Nick Bosa are going to have very similar senior year stats.
I think he's more of an Aiden Hutchinson than a Bosa.
I mean, like, Bosa had zero tackles in his senior year, and he had about $16 million in the bank account.
Nick Bosa?
Pick your poison. Neither of them stayed until their senior year.
I was just going to say he also had a roughing the passer that was really important in our
really game. Important.
So hopefully
Van Ness doesn't. With his head.
I really hope that Van Ness doesn't start headbutting people. I do want to show you quickly the Van Ness genetics. So they're good, basically. And it is what it is. Anyway.
What I don't know what you just showed me.
Just showing you how beautiful his family is. They're basically could all be models, and he's out here playing for the Hawks on the D line. I don't want to downplay the rest of this D line. Deontay Craig, dog. Joe Evans from Ames, Iowa.
Undersized, he was a quarterback, right?
Quarterback in high school.
Dog.
Dog. Come on now. That's my favorite player.
Imagine being a good enough athlete to play quarterback and defensive end. That's impressive.
Well, you know who he is? He's Nate Meyer. He's the closest thing we've had to Nate Meyer since Nate Meyer. He's undersized, but his motor is high.
That's a really good comparison. I like that.
Yeah.
Except he's probably better.
He probably is better. He's definitely better production-wise. Nate Meyer probably had a little bit. Nate Meyer had something that nobody has, and I don't know what you call it, but I liked it.
He's like we you know up at the lake house we had like a gator tractor type deal.
Yeah.
To like help out with chores around there and stuff.
Sure.
The thing never ran out of gas. I swear to God, we had that lake house 20 years. We filled it up twice. That's what Nate Meyer was. The dude just did not run out of gas. You couldn't kill him.
Yeah, you couldn't kill him.
Bro, I remember. I remember. This is the wildest conversation I've ever heard one of our teammates have with Coach Doyle. I've never heard somebody talk to Coach Chris Doyle like Nate Meyer did in his senior year. Oh, my God. Hey, boys and girls, the toolbox game. Yes, the manager game between the Iowa football managers and the Wisconsin football managers is happening this Friday, 7:30 at the Hanson Indoor Football Facility. Okay, I'm going to pull up the details here from my man, Jake Manning, who is one of the managers. You will be able to park at Ramp 3 on Friday night only so that you can get close to the facility and come and watch the game. The door by the baseball field will be green barred and the only way in and out. Okay. Basically what that means is normally there's electronic doors. You have to have a key code to get in. And usually it's a little red bar because you don't have a key code. And then when you scan the key, it turns green. It's just going to be turned on green so that everybody can get in and out. I am also going to be there. The walk-ons. Not all the walk-ons, which makes this a little bit less exciting, but if for some reason you are in town for the Wisconsin game, or you live in town, Cedar Rapids or Iowa City, 6:45 p.m., 45 minutes before the game starts, I and probably Kevin Ward, I don't know the time frame that Kevin will be there, but he will be there at some point. Kevin Ward and myself will be at that facility. Come by, see us, do a little meet and greet. I'm going to have both washed up walk-ons, single-sided flags, 3x5 flags available, as well as car flags, the ones that flap like motherfuckers on the way down the highway. Both of those will be available for purchase. Hawks by a million on the side of them. And you can hang out, talk to us, say what's up, and then cheer on the Iowa managers in the toolbox game. It's a win-win for both of us. We get to see some of you guys, have a little wash-up walk-ons, meet up with the fans, and then we can all cheer on the managers and give them a crowd for something that they honestly put so much work into and effort every single year. That is the update. Stay tuned to my Twitter and the walk-ons Twitter for more details about that, but we're planning on starting that around 6:45 p.m., and that will run for 45 minutes. The game will start at 7:30. All right. Let's also take a second to recognize AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise as one of the main sponsors of this show. Not just a main sponsor of the show, but really a sponsor of our brand. If you have any custom apparel needs, right? This could be for a school fundraiser. You see a lot of volleyball teams, football teams, basketball teams doing their school fundraising apparel orders and inventory set up through AdCraft. They do like a million of them. I honestly don't know how they handle it other than the fact that they have an incredible team over there who has, they're always on top of it. Customer service, warehouse staff, the art team. It's crazy. You've heard me talk about it. You guys are soon going to see. In fact, I believe sometime this week, we're going to be dropping the store for the holidays where you can buy Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise. Something that allows us to donate massive amounts of money to the Children's Hospital every year. And the engine behind that is AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. If it wasn't the best, we would go find the best, okay? And we've been working with AdCraft for a while now. We have not went out and sought other people for better clothing, better service. We found somebody who works, a team of people who wants to work with us and for us. They often provide us crazy ideas that have extended our brand to places where we couldn't even taken it by ourselves. So if you want to just create custom shirts, you got art ideas, you want to get some uniforms for your work team or a bowling league, I don't know. Go create it with AdCraft Custom Web Stores. Go to adcraftwebstores.com to get started. It's one of those, I was awkward because I was in, it was awkward for me because I was in the vicinity of this happening. Coach walked out. We're in a stretch, a Friday stretch, right? We're about to go Fast Friday. So you do your little primer and we go out. We're about to run through the 28 minute, whatever. And Nate's a little late, or, you know, he's not like late, but he walks in 2 minutes early, which is late. And Doyle starts chirping him, right? And Nate sits down on the rower, or not the rower, the roller, the foam roller. And I'm right next to him. And Nate goes, "What the fuck are you talking about, man?" And I was like, "Oh no. Oh no, is this, it's going to happen? This is happening?" No one says that. No one says that to Coach Doyle. And coach starts like kind of laughing a little bit. And I'm like, "Oh, he's on another level. Oh, this is a level that I didn't know was unlockable."
Listen, bud, it wasn't a secret that he was crazy. It's not just us three that were just like, "Oh yeah, did you know the secret? Did you know this?" Dude, the coaches knew too, all right? He had like 6 weeks left of the program.
Yeah.
Coach Doyle didn't want to die that day.
And he was playing well too, right? So Coach Doyle, he gets a little closer. He comes over. He's like, "Senior year, huh? You can just show up fucking late, do whatever you want." Like, and he still got a little bit of like angry in him. Like, Doyle's not, he's kind of playing with it, but he's not happy. And I'll never forget it. Nate goes, "Coach, I fucking hate this place." He leans back and starts rolling his ass and he goes, "Coach, I fucking hate this place." And if you would have seen me, if there would have been a side camera, right? The in a movie, the camera cuts, there's a different angle, and there is Tyler Kluver sitting on the rower next to Nate Meyer. My mouth was on the floor. It was like a fucking grenade just got tossed into the thing, and I just watched 17 of my teammates die. It's like, I was that shocked. And they keep jarring at each other. And I was like, okay. All right. So there's, and it's like, I just, third year in the program. No, was he a year older than us or 2 years older than us?
2 years.
2015.
Okay. So it was 15. And by this time,
he might have been a year older, but didn't redshirt.
Yeah. Whatever. It was 2015. And of course, the season's going real well at this point, so Coach Doyle don't have too much to be mad about. So, you know, everything's fun and games. And I realized that day, I haven't made it yet. I'm not there. I'm not on that top level. The seniors have something that...
Dude, he was the starting defensive end, and he was crazy. You were never going to get on that level.
But every senior finds, well, as long as you're doing your shit right, every senior finds that new level with the coaching staff. I mean... Kevin and I hardly even played, did spring ball our senior year. And
yeah, I was on partial retirement.
And Drake, you've talked about how BF had you on fucking 30% reps just so you were good for game day.
Dude, I mean, he knew that I was capable of running into people hard.
Yeah. So, man, I'll never forget that. That's just a little a sentiment about Nate Meyer. But Nate is also a guy who, similar to Brady, would tell Chris Hassel on Twitter that he doesn't like him. The response, by the way, I like Chris Hassel. I've known him. I haven't known him, but I've known who he was since my high school days in Central Iowa.
He's from Muscatine, right?
Yeah, he's from Muscatine. He's
yeah, he doesn't fuck with me, so...
He doesn't fuck Chris with you? Hassel.
No. Chris Hassel's never even acknowledged my existence, which, I mean, who cares? Like, I'm not a guy that gets butthurt over that. But if we're two dudes from Muscatine and we know what Muscatine is like, I mean, eat my nuts if you're not going to even acknowledge my existence.
I don't...
How do you want him to acknowledge you right now? Yeah. You're not on Twitter.
I've hit him up on Twitter before, like, when I had Twitter.
I know this. I hit him up it's probably 2 years now, at least. It was before the Doyle stuff happened at Iowa. So it would have been before that. It's been probably 3 years now to get him on the podcast. And we were going to have him on. And he agreed. But then right around that time, I think he got his work got crazy, or he got signed to CBS. It might have been right around the time he got fired from ESPN and then signed to CBS. I'm not sure.
Used to try and hit him up on social media.
Okay, well, maybe he's got beef with you. Maybe we can say, Chris, if you're listening, or if this gets sent to you, hey, let's settle the beef. And the beef would be
in the octagon.
They're putting in those mage rights in Muscatine. That would be the beef. Even though Taylor's and Marshawn is better, he says not a fan of this. Chris Hassel says not a fan of this, and I don't know why he wouldn't be a fan of that. I don't see anything wrong with what Spencer said, especially because he was asked about what this does for the team moving forward and kind of their mindset, I believe is what he was answering the question with. And also as a media guy, I listen to Chris's podcast on the Iowa Everywhere Network. He does one with Chris Williams, who does the Iowa State perspective, which Iowa State finally climbed out of their 5-game skid and beat West Virginia this weekend. Good for them. And I like their podcast. I think he's really good at what he does. But if you're going to sit on a podcast like we do, like he does, like everybody else does for these first 8 weeks of the season and chirp about how the guys on the inside are sucking it off, then when one of them and when they have a go and have a good day and one of them says, yeah, this is huge, like you guys had us dead and we just keep working and, you know, good things happen. You can't be mad when one of those guys says that.
That's not even a chirp, dude.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is not
like I saw the comments like that, clap back, chirp. It's just pure facts. Like people were writing this team off 2 weeks ago.
I think the people who are really bad at finding the context, you know, they don't look for the whole conversation. They just see the quote on Twitter. What they see is it coming out of Spencer's mouth. And they automatically relate it to, oh, Spencer thinks he's done something now, which is not what he's implying at all. He's just talking about the team and how things have been going on the inside. And I think that if you are a person who was somehow offended or butthurt by Spencer's comment, then you have some work to do.
Let me put it this way. If you are a media person who's butthurt by that comment, try being on the other side of the line, listening to the people talk shit about you for the last 2 fucking years.
Yeah, seriously. Try being Spencer. That's the thing.
You would come to work with a gun.
If someone has a problem with this comment, anybody who does, you've clearly weeded yourself out as someone who could have never been on the inside. Not that that's what you're trying to prove yourself as, but let's just put it that way. So Chris says, not a fan of this. Brady Ross responds, not a fan of you.
Fucking hilarious.
Unbelievable. That is a clapback. We want to talk about a clapback. That's a clapback. And Brady Ross just throwing bones.
Brady Ross, not very active on Twitter, but when he is, it's a treat.
Oh, everything that Brady Ross does is a treat. And he's had a few treats.
He's a national treasure.
He used to look like a treat. Anyway, Iowa gets it done, boys. We can finally talk about this game 26 minutes in, but who would have thought? I think I had it in my mind. I even had it in my betting account. Shout out to DRF Sports, ia.drf.com if you want to sign up. I'm really sorry about it. The boost of the week, 2 weeks in a row, lost. Betting's hard, man. Betting's hard. We were 4 for 4 before that, and the last 2 weeks it hasn't hit. But DRF, shout out to the boys. They have been making it happen and giving the walk-ons a boost all year long. They also have promotions all the time, and as well as the educational sort of logistical part of DRF. Go check them out, the Hometown Sportsbook, the Walk-On Sportsbook. I had it in one of my bets, Iowa Moneyline. So I thought there was a definite chance here, especially because of the weather. But 24-3. 24-3, that was probably not in anybody's bingo card. Kev, initial thoughts on overall. I know we kind of talked about keys to the game. Good defense, great defense, arguably. 3 points. I know Phil Parker loves that. And guess what? We won the turnover battle.
Won the turnover battle. Can't really say that we exactly earned it. O'Connell sailed a couple passes. We were able to take advantage of them. But kudos to our boys for making the plays. You know, Benson, that was actually a pretty good catch for him.
Hell of a catch.
Hell of a catch.
Did you watch the game, Drake?
I did.
Oh, wow. Look at you. And then on the other side of the ball, I think we did a good job, especially Spencer, of taking care of the ball, especially in those windy conditions. You know, of his like 12 incompletions, I think he threw away like 7 of them.
Yeah.
Which, given the way the game was going, we just needed to take care of the ball. And I think he did it. I think overall, Spencer played pretty well. He just took what the defense gave him, made a couple of nice hot reads to Reganey, let him run out and beat man coverage. Had a couple of nice throws to Laporta. I think there's only one throw to Lachey that he really missed that would have been a nice little 15-yard gain. Overall, I think Spencer played pretty well. Offensive line made an improvement. Still a lot of room there. I don't know if you saw this too, but – dude, the snaps are still just slow. Not on cadence.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if Logan is holding on to it or what, but goddamn, Spencer is like stuck there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's something that's got to be addressed here.
Line's moving.
It's been an all-season thing, and it throws off timing. It makes, I mean, Drake, you can talk about how important timing is on offensive football plays, but when it's off even half a second, it can fuck things up.
Especially when you're zone blocking, because everybody has to be working in sync because you're not on guys for all that long if you're moving to the second level. So it's not like it's just you versus the guy in front of you. And, you know, when you go, you go. If the guy to the left or right of you is on a different step than you, the whole play is fucked.
I want people, you two specifically, who know more schematically about football than I do. Not that you guys are Phil Parker or anything, but
by any means, I'm an idiot.
I got a question on the post game show that I was honestly kind of unequipped to answer, and I did my best. But when we have success offensively, people tend to have this idea that, oh, Brian got more aggressive, and I don't think that's true.
Ran the plays better.
Okay,
they
so I was
played better.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When they run 16, there wasn't a 3 technique in the backfield on the run path. They played better.
So I got this in a call and a couple DMs. Like, hey, seems like Brian's opening up the playbook. Seems like we're being more aggressive. And I'm telling people, man, I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. It's my inclination.
I don't know if I saw a single play we haven't run before.
I was about to say that we don't have a play run that was good, anything other than standard.
Because my answer to those people was, I don't think that we're we're getting aggressive at all. I think we're running a lot of the same plays that we've been running. It just looks more aggressive when we're getting 12 yards instead
when you're executing. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. That was my answer to those people.
Like on those tight end stick routes, when we were hitting them for first downs, so we're not just now punting, it's first and 10 again.
Seems more aggressive.
Makes the game a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. That makes me feel better because I don't have the eye to kind of subconsciously think back after 60 minutes of football and go, huh, you know what? Brian actually called.
Dude, I want to like make fun of these fans for having wet brain because like in what world does an offensive coordinator who has no success in the season to like boost his confidence, in what world does he just now open up the playbook and just start throwing fucking unicorns and buckets of gold? Like that's wet brain thought process.
Dude, that's another t-shirt. Unicorns and buckets of gold. That's what Iowa offense, unicorns and buckets of gold. Okay. Yeah, I agree. That doesn't make any sense. And again, I think it comes back to this thing. And again, here's where the walk-ons are going to patronize you as a fan. Or I won't even lump Kevin and Drake in there with me, but this is the way I'm going to describe it.
I was just referencing that one question.
No. And I understand. I think as a fan, and this is a good sort of natural way to lean because you want to give the players the benefit of the doubt. I think as fans, we think when stuff isn't working, the first thing we think of, except for the quarterback, everyone seems to be totally fine with saying the quarterback's doing the wrong things, but the rest of the players, you tend to think, oh, they've got to be doing things right. So it must be the wrong call. Like, I think people have this, that's where they jump to. They don't want to blame
the quarterback is the most visible to them. So if you know, quarterback misses an open receiver, your casual fan can see that, right?
Yeah. Casual fans
usually not seeing that we're not doing a good job of getting our two on ones from the one technique up to the middle linebacker. You're right.
And I'm not even saying that the casual fan should be looking at that or should know what to look at. I just am trying to identify why a lot of people think this way. And so you're right. Like when people are watching a play develop, they're looking at Spencer with the ball in his hands and not, unless it's just absolutely blatant, they're not looking at all five offensive line positions at the same time and saying, oh yeah, we all picked up our guy, right? Like we all did what we were supposed to. And I think what you saw, not just this week against Purdue, but last week against Northwestern was when we have guys execute what they are supposed to do on a play, holy shit, it works. Holy shit. Now it looks like we're running plays that we haven't. Here's the answer to your question. Are we running plays that we haven't run? Yes, we're running them correctly. We're completing and executing them. We're doing them right. The call was the same, but it does look different on the field. And is it all in the players? No, it's, you know, there's an offensive coordinator for a reason. There's a scheme for a reason, but clearly things look and work better. And then Kevin, Drake, you can speak to this too, but hey, now we've got a little passing game. Defense backs off a little bit. And oh shit, let's hand it off to Caleb Johnson. And now there's room to run.
I don't know that we have too much of a passing game outside of our tight end passing game.
That's a good point, honestly.
Let's be honest. We ran the ball well and threw it to our tight ends well. And we played well on defense.
Between Nico and our tight ends.
I forgot about Nico. He had a pretty good game. Yeah.
Between Nico and our tight ends, that's about where our passing attack stops. But hey, at this point,
something. It moved the ball.
You're right. Take a drink. Anything else that's stood out to you guys?
It was very fun to not lose to Purdue.
Love that. Love not playing David Bell. You know, Kevin mentioned David Bell wasn't there. I tweeted about it. I tried to be funny. I think some people got it. I said this was clearly a David Bell issue. Boy, is it nice to not have him. I mean, Charlie, arguably, without scoring, had a similar day.
Not really, though, because I don't think they threw the ball to David Bell 20 times. If you look at Charlie's yards per target, I think it ends up being a pretty inefficient offense.
I agree.
I would.
He had one big play to him for like 30 something yards, and that he had a couple of nice catches. I'm not gonna lie, but the amount of the offense that flows through him,
dude. If he didn't have 25 targets, I'm gonna be surprised.
It was less than that. It was close to 20, though.
It was probably close to 20.
I think I could check.
Interesting stat that got posted in the, I mean, it's on Twitter, but also in the Discord, is Charlie Jones now 0 for 3. Kevin, you sent me this. He's 0 for 3 when Iowa plays Purdue, and he's played for both teams. So that's tough. It's just, you know. He's probably still happy with the production he's putting out there this year. He's really given himself a chance to see the next level. Did you guys catch the clip of Cooper going to help him up and Jack Campbell going, "Hey buddy, let's just let him get up on his own, huh?"
He had no problem just walking out of town on his own, so he can get up on his own. Nope.
I think that clip of Campbell pulling Cooper away is some.
Tell
of
me
the
that didn't scream Josie Jewell to you.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I didn't even think of anything other than Josie because I didn't see it. But as you guys are saying this, I'm just thinking about Josie.
I thought Josie was back on the team. I can hear Josie going, no, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. In like his funny little way. I think that clip specifically, because we all know Jack is, I mean, he is a football player. He is respectful. He's one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. He is not in any way malicious towards opposing player. I mean, the way he plays is a little bit malicious sometimes, but you know,
he will fuck you up.
You don't want to run into him. But I think that is some of the best gamesmanship I've ever seen. Like the most, you know, like the true, this is what sports is about. Like, nah, fuck him. Let him get up. He'll be fine. He'll probably respect it. And like, you know, this is football. I loved it.
I gotta imagine this was this is one that the coaching staff really, really wanted, and the fan base as well, that you could just put your feet up afterwards and just kind of enjoy
cathartic.
That a little bit. Cathartic, very cathartic.
I think, Drake, you said something in our group chat while the game was happening, like, what the fuck is going on or whatever. And I said, you know what? If this is the way this game ends up, and it did, although the second half was basically like, hey, let's run this fucking
we
clock
were up
out.
21-3, and I was like, what is going on? Am I in a hyper vortex? Did I come out on a different planet?
And I was like, you know what? This was the week, if any, for this to happen. Like, against Charlie Jones, against a team who has had our number for four of the last 5 years, a week to get two in a row. This was a cathartic week.
Was this was it the same score that they beat us by last year when we were number two? Was it 24-3 or is it,
I believe,
yeah, it was the 2021 score when they embarrassed us.
Let me take a look. Iowa versus Purdue 2021. It was 24-7.
24-7.
That one hurt. I remember watching that one, and that one hurt.
That was an ugly one to watch, but this one felt really good. I think this almost knocks them out of contention for the West. No, they got Illinois next week, so they're still in it, I guess.
Yeah. So that actually brings me to the conversation because, hey, like Spencer said, we had them dead. We had him buried in the ground. I mean, you can even clip me saying, I think in the, it was either pre Ohio State or after Ohio State. You can clip me saying, hey, I knew this was the fucking way the season was going to go once we lost to Illinois. Now you can also clip me saying a ton that every game on the schedule past Ohio State was winnable. So I don't think I had him totally dead and buried myself.
I had him dead.
But
thank you, thank you for
I had answer. Them. I had them. If they had a heart rate monitor, you know, they're sitting on the hospital bed and they got that heart rate monitor on the computer screen. Boy, that some bitch was getting low. It was getting few and far between. So we take a look at the West now, and holy shit, Iowa's in second place. I mean, what is going on? And that may speak to the West.
Illinois and Minnesota both lost, right?
Minnesota ended up beating Nebraska.
Oh, they did end up winning.
But Illinois did end up losing to a Michigan State team, which I was really surprised by.
I was a little shocked by that. Yeah. Mel Tucker, $100 million man, unbelievable. So here's what we're looking at in the West now. Illinois sits atop at 4-2 with a head-to-head win over Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. They play Purdue this upcoming week. If they beat Purdue, it is almost guaranteed to go
unless they somehow drop the ball versus Northwestern.
Correct. So their final three games are at Purdue, home against Michigan, at Northwestern. They have to lose two of those three, and Iowa has to win out for Iowa to be the West champion. Those are the two things that need to happen. We do not care about any other team, because the other teams are the ones that we're about to play. We just beat Purdue. Wisconsin's right there. We play them this week. Minnesota is after that. We play them the week after that. So if we win out and we are 8-4 and we end up 5-3 in the conference, or is it 5-3 or we would be 6-3.
6-3.
6-3 in the conference. And Illinois can find a way to lose to Purdue, Michigan, or Northwestern two out of three times.
Not super improbable, right?
Likely that they lose to Michigan.
Likely that they lose to Michigan.
So they really have to find a way.
I could see them dropping a game to Purdue, especially if Purdue has a good bounce back game. And you know what? Northwestern rivalry game.
Rivalry game.
Played Ohio State tough. You never know what's going to happen.
They could very easily drop two of these three. Now, Iowa still has to go get it done, but other than any other time, compared to any other time this season, I think we've got the most confidence in Iowa right now.
I mean, it's the same as we said 2 weeks ago after the Ohio State game. Every game the rest of the year was winnable or losable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
do you guys know what the line is for this week?
I believe I saw it come out at like Iowa minus a point and a half.
Iowa minus one.
So it's
in a blacked out Kinnick.
Is it blackout this weekend?
It's blackout.
Now here's the deal. I saw the forecast drop to 31 degrees in snow. Is that still
chilly? Yeah.
I don't like that. Is there going to be heaters at the tailgate?
Yeah. It's called a nice beer. You drink enough of them.
No, Kevin. No. Yep. Uh-huh, I'm asking, Are there going to be heaters that use propane to blow heat on me?
You know, I don't know why you want people blowing on you and stuff at the tailgate. I mean, take that somewhere else.
How do you not understand that? You don't want people. There'll probably be
some propane heaters there. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably a little nice tent setup. Yeah.
I would enjoy that. I don't want the inside warm. I don't want to have to liquid warm myself. Right now on my phone, it says Saturday in Iowa City will be partly cloudy with a high of 32. I do not see snow. It's going to be cold.
Just eat a bunch of mushrooms. The cold doesn't really affect you.
Okay. Iowa City tailgate Wisconsin game. Probably not a good time to do psychedelics for the first time. Well, probably not for the first time, though. Right? So that's what the West looks like. Northwestern is trash. Although, hey, boys and girls, lock of the weekend, 38.5 points, my ass. Come on, Wildcats. Now, was it the only bet that hit out of my three? Yes. Am I trash at picking football games, both in the college and NFL? Yes. Did I lay some confidence down on Kevin's Michigan minus 26 and get a little bit scared, but then they all of a sudden came back and won me some money last night? Yes, I did. Let's run over those picks real quick. And shout out to the Picket app. You guys know, over the weekend, our boy Jimbo, you guys remember Jimmy, who won the $250? We got him sent. Listen to this. And this is shout out to the boys at Pickett, because Pickett made this happen. P-I-K-K-I-T. We're partnering with them now. Shout out to them as a sponsor. Pickett was like, hey, we're going to give $250 to a walk-on listener. Turns out that it's Jimbo, right? This guy, Jim. He goes, boys, just got the news that I won. Love it. I send him the money. We have a little bit of conversation. Jim goes, I'm laying some of this down on the Iowa money line today.
Love it.
And he hits, boys and girls, picking, making it happen. Let's go. Come on now. Pickett is a sports betting aggregation app. And if you guys haven't been on board yet, then you're kind of missing out. It is, if you use more than one sports betting app, you absolutely need this, because it aggregates all your bets in one place. You don't have to individually log in to all your betting accounts. It also will tell you in a super easy user interface how many units, how much money you got down, how many bets you have out there. It brings in all of the events, all of the games into a live feed where you can just scroll and see all the scores of all the games that you're betting on. It's your own custom. It's honestly sick. And they let Jimbo win 250, and then he turned some of that into some more. So shout out to them. Code walk on at sign up. W-A-L-K-O-N. Walk on. You guys got a Powerball ticket?
No, but I'm going to freaking buy one this week. That's for damn sure.
Holy shit, that thing is going high. Now, there was a – this could be our next top five. And I don't know – we don't have to do it tonight, because I do kind of like to prep for a top five.
Wait, we're not doing a top five tonight?
Should we do? Should we just go an impromptu top five?
What the fuck did
five?
I show up for?
Because the Hawks are scoring points. They're winning games. Yeah,
I'm here for the top fives, baby. I'm here for the hang.
Okay, well, then let's do a top five. It'll be impromptu. It'll be a little less programmed.
Top five things you're buying with the winning lotto ticket.
Correct. And I want to take away house, and I want to take away stocks, because those are like the obvious, like, yeah.
Well, now what am I going to buy?
I want the, what do they call it? I don't even know, like the
tangible thing.
Items that
asset.
Yeah. I want stuff that's just like luxury spend. Like it's for pure pleasure. Top five things that you would buy.
So can I say like,
no, you can't say drugs.
Penthouse.
A what?
A Manhattan penthouse, like a penthouse in Manhattan, 100 stories up, overlooking the whole city. That's a luxury.
Why can't you say penthouse, but I can't say house?
I think that obviously you're going to buy your forever house on a piece of land.
A mansion, absolutely.
I'm going to buy like a state worth of land. And
you're going to buy a state? You can go buy Rhode Island? Probably.
Nah.
You can get a bunch of land in Oklahoma pretty cheap.
You can get a bunch of land in Montana. You could probably buy Muscle Shoal County.
No, literally, all the billionaires are buying up land in Montana right now. Go look at some of the ranches out there; they're insane.
Well, you would be you would have a lot of money.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's a popular thing to do these days if you're a rich white man with a lot of money.
Absolutely. So think on it for a second, Kev. I don't want to skip over your picks, because two out of three. Right? Two out of three?
Two out of three, and it should have been three out of three.
It should have been.
Get this. All right, so Duke's up 10.
I mean, this was bad. Me and Kev were
9.5, right?
Bad beat.
Austin College gets the ball with 2 minutes left. They march down the field. They kick like a 38-yard field goal on second down with 17 seconds left.
Unbelievable.
Right? God, you know what that's like? Kill me now.
You know what that's like, Kev? It's like in the NCAA tournament when you're betting like Middle Tennessee against North Carolina, and the line's like 28.5, and North Carolina's up 30, and Middle Tennessee throws in a half quarter at the buzzer to lose by 27, and it doesn't cover. That's what a field goal on second down. To lose by seven.
I can understand it, right? You take the three, you get the onside kick, you throw the Hail Mary. I understand the logic of it, but oh my God, it's just
That hurts.
It hurt real bad. So the parlay was dead before it got its feet off the ground. Tulane had them at -7.5. They win 27-13 at Tulsa. And Michigan survives a first half scare. They were down 17-14 at one point. They end up covering the 26, 52-17. So 2 for 3.
That game, right up until they picked it off and then just absolutely started dominating Rutgers, was interesting. Rutgers was trying to make it an interesting one.
The first half was interesting, yeah. And
it was unbelievable. Started
playing like Michigan in the second half. And
Tulane's a good team this year, huh?
Michigan is playing good football, yeah.
I said Tulane, too. Tulane's a good team.
Oh, yeah. Tulane's a good squad, yeah. Yeah, Tulane is on track to be in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Pretty cool. Wow. And Drake, did you like what I did with your with you this week on the graphic there?
Absolutely sensational.
I'm leaving it there. You are now just Jesus to the people. Mm-hmm. So as we mentioned in previous weeks, this is a 1-2 podcast. Now Kevin really tried to turn that around this week. I am right there again. Northwestern, who I got a ton of shit for the other day, covers by a million, and they happen to be the only team that does it for me. Texas Tech, TCU. Shout out to TCU. I don't know if they're any good or not. I still feel like they're going to get beat by one of their last three opponents in the regular season here. They win against Texas Tech. They do not go over. No, not enough points in that game for me. And Tennessee basically got khabibed by Georgia. Georgia.
That defense is legit.
That defense must have felt super disrespected by getting dropped in the rankings, and they came out and proved their worth.
Man, their corners are some dogs.
And Stetson Bennett. Their
tackles are some dogs.
Stetson Bennett is.
You see the thing about Stetson Bennett and his phone?
And they were calling him all night?
Yeah.
And then on the fucking first touchdown celebration, he's like, fuck yeah, baby. Dude, that team, that they got swag. They've got more athletes than you. They've got everything. Georgia's better than you at football. If you're the other team, Georgia's better. It just is the way it is.
And it's just crazy. I mean, you watch them play yesterday, and like, there's no team in the country that can beat these guys. And a month ago, Mizzou had him on the ropes.
I know. They should have won. Unbelievable. Right. It is crazy.
But if they play like that, they'll be national champions for sure.
Yeah. Tennessee.
Who do you think could compete with them?
Nobody. I mean, it have to be Ohio State.
I was going to say, if Ohio State has a good offensive day, and they've
just
got a chance.
Hope that Ohio State can make it a shootout.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think Ohio State's the only one with a real chance. I think Michigan could knock off Ohio State, though. But I don't think Michigan matches up against Georgia. I think Michigan gets trounced by Georgia.
Dude, the Ohio State-Michigan game this year is going to be sick. I mean, it's sick a lot of years, but it's going to be good this year. Anyway, Tennessee
Imagine
plus
they're
8.
They're both undefeated.
They're going to be.
Yeah, probably going to be.
That's badass.
Tennessee right. plus 8.5 was my last pick. It did not hit. I think they lost by like 3 touchdowns or something like that.
27-13 final.
Yeah. So 2 scores. Okay. 55 minutes in. Might as well cap this thing off with the top 5. So let's play a little game. You win the Powerball. It's $1.6 billion. Now, you're probably going to take that in a lump sum because 1.6 is the I believe it's like the estimated overtime.
It's
going to
be 1.9 now.
Holy shit. It's going to be $1.9 billion.
That's the estimate now after no winner for the 1.5. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So rule of thumb is take the big number, take a third of it after the lump sum and then taxes. So call it $700 million.
Okay. So you get $700 million. Just even saying it is so stupid. It's so stupid. The fact that somebody is going to win that. Oh my God.
Well, this is what the Washed Up Walk-Ons LLC should do, is secure a loan and buy every possible combination and we'll still be profitable as long as nobody else wins. It costs like, oh man.
Is that true?
Yes, because there's like 300 million combinations at $2 a piece. So it costs you like $600 million. And
so we'd make $100 million as long as nobody else had the right
combo. If someone else wins, then you're fucked.
Right. Because now you're splitting $700 million and now we're down $250
million. Yes.
Holy shit. Okay. I don't think we're going to find somebody to give the Washed Up Walk-Ons Partnership LLC a $600 million. Also, I think the logistically buying that many combinations would take a long time. Like, imagine having 300 million tickets.
No, you just call Powerball and say...
They're not going to let you do that.
I want 300 million tickets, please.
Give me every
I want them all to be different combinations.
Oh shit!
I think I don't. Can you buy lottery tickets online? You probably can't. Can you?
I don't think so. I think
if so. You would need like some sort of supercomputer to do it,
right? So, Washed Up Walk-Ons wins, and we now have $700 million.
Nah, give it a billion. Just tell me I got a billion to play.
Okay, you've got a billy. It's like there's a difference anyway. You've now got a billy in your pocket. In your digital pocket. What's the first thing you buy outside of, you know?
So are we going number five or are we going starting at the big boy?
I guess.
I think we got to start from number one down because otherwise my aura is going to be fucked up in my head.
Yeah. So start with the first thing you'd buy.
Private jet.
Yep. It was going to be private jet for me as well.
I'm buying an F-18.
That can be your private jet.
I am buying an F-18, and I think
you're
going to
be down a significant amount of your budget already on an F-18. Now let me get
$300 million, $300 million.
Drake's going to buy a warp. I'm fucking weak.
All right, Drake, you're already down $65 million.
That's it. That is it.
He's going to buy five of them now.
Drake's like, buy me three. I want three.
My Manhattan penthouse is going to cost me more than that.
I don't think so.
Look at the property values of Manhattan penthouses. The most expensive.
I don't know. I think like the most expensive real estate ever sold was what? Less than 100.
No, Kev.
This here says the world's highest apartment is on sale for $250 million.
Oopsies. But that's probably in the Burj Khalifa, huh?
No, it says this penthouse, which hovers 1,400 feet above Central Park, is also Manhattan's most expensive listing. Oh my God, dude. It is stupid nice.
Yeah, and I want you to know that is purchase number two.
Wow.
Is that specific penthouse?
That specific. I want the most baller penthouse in all of Manhattan because I am him.
And
I'm going to fly my F-18 right over the fucking Hudson. Let them know daddy's home.
Well, they're going to think it's another Sully situation. There's a guy. There's Drake landing his F-18 in the Hudson.
Dude, speaking of this, I forgot to tell you guys. There was a dude the other day. So I like to order dinner and then drive at dusk because the sky is just so incredible out here. And so I go pick my dinner up at dusk. This guy, I saw him, perfect spot to do it, over a massive field, mountains in the background, dusk sky. He's sitting on like what looks like a lawn chair with an airboat propeller strapped to his back and a parachute. And he was just zooming around like he was actually flying a single-manned, like motorized parachute. I don't even know. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I saw it on your story and I was like, wow, that's something.
It was incredible.
So Drake's buying an F-18 and then a Manhattan penthouse, and he's now down about $315 million.
Congratulations.
But don't forget, I got a Vin Diesel, baby.
You got $700 million. No, don't change the rules. You're halfway done. With the property taxes, you are bankrupt in about 5 years right now.
No.
That's true. I think private jet is number one for me, and it would be for the reason to
because I tried to flying on a plane sucks.
Well, yeah, that. But I tried to sell Lauren on this the other day. I was like, I'll just fly to Iowa City once a week, and I'll record with Kevin, and then I'd fly back, and we could actually do the podcast in person.
And she's right, like, you live like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, but if I fly, it's like 15 minutes.
It's not 15 minutes. It's like four.
And if I'm in your F-18.
Yeah, we're taking the F-18, Bubba. I'll pick you up.
So it's going to be a private jet. But from there, I don't know what I could buy. Like other than a yacht or like some of this stupid shit. No,
you don't want a boat. You don't want a boat.
Says who? Give me boat number two. Big ass yacht.
No.
Where are you? Where is your boat?
No, because now your money's all the way gone, Kevin. You just sunk your money.
No, you can get a yacht.
Says the guy who bought a $250 million penthouse in the middle city in America. Blow me.
If I'm being honest, I want the $100 million one, and I just want it because every day I want to just see that view.
Oh, so we're changing up the numbers now. He's like, he ran the numbers. He's like, we're running out of money. Give me the
Groover told me before. No. Before we started this list, I said, Groover, give me $1 billion to play with. And he said, cool, make it $1 billion. Just for shits and giggles, make it $1 billion. So that's what Groover said. So I was playing with
Groover is wrong because if you're taking away, you're not getting $1 billion. You're getting like $700 million, if that.
So if you're taking away $300 million, yeah, I'm going to downsize my penthouse a little bit because it's still going to be baller.
It's true.
All right. Second, all poor, only buying the $100 million penthouse.
You took away $300 billion of my play money, or $300 million of my play money.
Well, Groover changed the prompt.
Okay, so I'm getting blamed for this. This conversation is going fucking south in a minute. So I am probably going to buy some sort of residence in overseas, like Spain, maybe Italy. Like I want to Greece, somewhere over there. I want to be able to sit like high above the land, look out onto the water, and eat. Like a king. Like I want to eat pasta and just like just bask in the sun. I want property over there, and I want it to be expensive, you know, like something nice. I don't know if it's Italy, I don't know if it's Greece, but I want like foreign property, and that would be my number two.
So kind of going along with that, my number three, I think, would be like budgeting like $20 million a year just on travel and expenses and shit like that. So I can just travel the world.
100%. I don't know what you call that, but I'm with you on that. And that was,
I don't know what to call that either. It's not a physical tangible good that I'm buying. It's
I think all three of us would probably prefer to spend it on experience rather than
boys and girls. I'm just spending the money on jet fuel and flying my F-18 wherever I want to go.
You with an F-18.
Just in an F-18. The operating cost for a jet F-18 per hour is also something ridiculous.
It is obscene.
Yeah.
But I can get there in a hurry.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if we're on. So if that was your number three, Kev, is that your number three?
Yeah.
Drake, do you have a number three?
I'm buying a custom Rolls Royce.
Okay. I like that. I was going to put a car on there as well. My number three was probably going to be some kind of car. The problem is I'm not really a car guy.
I'm not a car guy either. I'm probably going to stick with my Tahoe.
Dude, Tahoes are nice trucks, man.
It's a comfy car, man.
Can you at least soup it up? Can you put a, you know?
I'll probably get it detailed for like $100. I don't know.
I'll definitely get an oil change. I mean, fuck yeah. If you don't think I'm rotating them tires, boy.
You're going to finally replace the dented hood from the hail 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's tough. I'd probably go to Drake and be like, yo, what's a sick car that I could buy? And then he would tell me and I'd just buy that car just for shits and gigs. And it's not even going to put a dent, shout out Chris D'Elia, dent in the account. Number five is going to be that travel expense for me. So I'll just put that on the back end of the list. Is there a number four for you, Kevin?
Now you screwed up the prompt already, but like, so you're saying I already have like a big ass house somewhere.
I'm saying that.
Because otherwise you're throwing off my order if Drake's buying penthouses, but I can't buy a house.
No. I think that it's very clear that you're going to probably, most people are going to either buy land and buy a house or buy land and build their dream house that they're going to have as their main residence for the rest of their life. And so I was going to take that off because that was going to be a clear one of the five for all of us. Now, a Manhattan penthouse, that's more like, you know, that's Drake goes, forward. Yeah, you go and hang out
I
there.
I go like, there when I want to wake up in Manhattan and look at Central Park in the morning.
Right, but it's not his permanent residence. Because
in
if
we're F-18.
Well, yeah, you could land that on the roof.
Ooh, that'd be a tough landing, wouldn't it? Gotta stick that one pretty hard.
But yeah, Kev. So if you want to just say like a permanent residence, build your dream house, then you can say that too.
Well, yeah, I mean it's gonna be in a 10,000 acre ranch out in Montana.
You gonna have some buffaloes out there?
And that's gonna be number one. Private jets number
everything
else down the list.
Yeah. Yeah. The last one on my list, because this is number four, but I'm putting the travel expense and budget at number five, is for the boys. I am buying or building probably. I'm building us a studio gym and it is fully decked out. And I know it's not even gonna make a dent in the money. Because you could spend.
It's funny you say that because my next one was the Fantasy Factory, Dream Factory for all the bros.
Yep.
You got paintball, you got airsoft, you got any game you could possibly want. You got MMA gym, you got weights, you got everything. You got the Dan Bilzerian padded room where you can skydive onto those massive pillows, dude. I'm talking everything.
Yeah,
this was my number five as well. It was a gym with everything. I'm talking swimming pool, talking football field, basketball court. Like Drake said, I want a paintball arena,
trampoline park.
I want a boxing ring. We want an octagon in there. I want some mats we can roll around in. It's a weight room bigger than the Iowa weight room facility with all the
with all the snacks.
With all the snacks, full refueling station, and an intern attendant. I want the USACA bars to make my Olympic lifts go up by 10% overnight. I want it all.
Yeah, and a part of this is going to be a fully decked out, kitted, branded out, Washed Up Walk-On's official studio where we can record podcasts and actual content. And okay, like,
so if one of us – all right, let's go around in a circle here. If one of us buys the winning ticket, Drake, are you still doing this podcast?
Probably, man. And it's just because of Dickhead Tuesday.
Kluver, are you still doing this podcast?
Oof. It might go down to once a week.
Dickhead Tuesday.
No. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. Think about how cool. Now think about this, because this is what I put in the Discord.
Having a in studio would be.
Think about how cool of a brand we can suddenly become and the shit that we could do with those resources. I mean, we now have.
And you got to have hobbies.
We now have way more than Pat McAfee money, right? And we hire a few more of the boys. We get Bo to quit his job. We're now all full-time just content producers. Shit.
You know what? I always told myself, scratch my number one. I'm sorry. There's someone fucking around outside my house right now. scratch my number one.
You need to get the strap.
I've always told myself I win the lottery. I'm buying a big ass neighborhood for the boys and everybody gets a house.
Okay. You like get that. A house. You get a house.
Kevin turns into Oprah. House. The idea was that we donate so much money of the money we win to the children's hospital that there's now a wing or
no,
a
no, 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 le- no, no, no. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons Children's Hospital.
It's just sorry, Stead family, but
oops, we gave more. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Or hey, we implement plans to build a second tower that now sits next to the other tower, and it's
just a little bit bigger.
It's just two or three floors higher, and it's the Washed Up Walk-Ons Children's Hospital named after us, and then. We also donate just a significant portion to the NIL fund for the athletes, and we just dominate, you know, like a shitload of money. You know, enough for like a good 10 or 20 years of NIL. And then after that, we'd
be satisfying though.
Just take massive futures bets.
Say you give 100 mil to the NIL fund, and yeah, we are giving every 5-star in the country, we're offering them 5 mil a year to come play at Iowa.
Yeah.
And we go and we win every game by 60 for the next 4 years.
And it's because of us.
Satisfying anymore though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I bet the Hawks national champs in 2028. And now I'm doing it all over again because I got another biscuit.
And Drake just won another biscuit.
You know what, Drake? That's a next level play right there. Yeah. Good for you. Still got some brain cells left.
Not many. So that was it. The Hawks are. Let us know what you would do with your billion, by the way. So the Hawks are 5-4. They're not dead. They've got 3 games left. The Badgers come to town. The bowl is on the line. And the Hawks are hungry. I think the Hawks are hungry. The Hawks are ready to go to battle for that thing in the cold weather. And we got a chance to make a little run at 8-4 here and turn the season around. I love it. Shout out to Brady Ross.
Just imagine for a sec. I'm sorry you're trying to wrap this thing up. Just imagine that we pulled out that Illinois game and we're 6-3 right now and in the driver's seat of the West. Just how different this year is and the whole narrative around it too.
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable. It's you're right. Game of what ifs. Regardless, here we are, 5-4. We will talk to you on Wednesday in 367. Jesus Christ. What a podcast. You're right. Maybe we wouldn't do this podcast if we won all that money. That's it. Talk to you then. Peace.